Welcome to Machine Learning, How the World Works. Journey to Mars. This is a product built by Listen Software Solutions. I built this product because of the ongoing interest that NASA has for journeying to Mars. So it has four sections. The first section talks about facts that I found with Olympus Mons. You're allowed to ask questions at any point. And when you ask a question, it will give you an answer and will also try to generate an image as a result of your question. Now, Olympus Mons is located on Mars. It stands about 13.6 miles high, which is nearly three times the height of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain on Earth. Olympus Mons is 370 miles in diameter, and it's rimmed by a 6 mile high scrape. Now, that scrape is really important. I'll just cover that in just a moment about what causes that. It has a steep slope on each side of the volcano. It's considered a volcano. And they think that it formed billions of years ago. Now, there is some alternative explanations to how Olympus Mons was formed. If a nearby object came in proximity to Mars, it would have caused severe electrical storms, and there would have been a cathode-anode electrical effect, and the contact point would have been Olympus Mons. And that many people that study high plasma energy and the electric universe theory believe that that's how Olympus Mons was formed. Let me explain that. Olympus Mons was formed as electrons streamed to the top of the mound. The surface was raised by electrical force. The summit became a focal point of negative charged area surrounded by a positively charged surface. A second discharge formed a ring around the cauldron called the Hale-Bopp discharge. Mars volcano Olympus rises about 15 miles above its surface. It's the largest volcano in the solar system. Now, some think that it also was a lava scab, but there isn't any evidence of any lava in that area. Now, according to the electric universe theory, the formation of Olympus Mons can be attributed to electrical activity. The theory suggests that electrical discharges between the celestial bodies, that's the nearby object that's passing near Mars, can lead to the creation of large-scale features like volcanoes. These electric discharges may cause the melting and movement of subsurface materials, resulting in the formation of Olympus Mars. From the anode perspective, the nearby planet's positive charge interacts with Mars' negative charge. So this nearby planet, when it came in close proximity, could be in a comet, it could have been another planet. When it came in close proximity to Mars, it created a anode-cathode electrical relationship, and then as a result, the formation of the volcano occurred. From the cathode perspective, electric current flows from the nearby planet to Mars, influencing volcanic activity. All right. So now the second section talks about the Val Marinas, the Valles Marinas. Now, NASA uses measurements, instruments to measure, look for liquids of bodies of liquid water, and they use advanced technology similar to satellite imagery and data analysis. In this case, they use radar instruments like the Mars Advanced Radar for subsurface and ionosphere sounding. And what that does is it uses the radar to get pulses that penetrate the surface and the ice caps, and then the resulting signal is examined for any changes that might indicate the presence of water. So NASA believes that Mars has water under its surface and one time had water that formed various lakes. And as a result, the theory is the Val Marinas, according to NASA, was created by erosion, the water forming these lakes, and the lakes then had erosion. So they believe also that if they drill far enough into the surface of Mars, that they will find underground water. That's left to be determined. The South Pole of Mars, which is frozen carbon dioxide, and it forms in the winter and it melts in the summer part, they use the radar and they reflected back differently from the specific area compared to the surrounding area, suggesting the existence of liquid. Okay, Valles Marinas chasm is 7 kilometers deep, 200 kilometers wide, 4 times deeper and 6 times wider and 10 times longer than the Grand Canyon. The Valles Marinas ran across the floor of the Crissy Plinta Basin. Valles Marinas is a system of canyons that run along the Martian surface east of the Taurus region. It is the largest canyon system in the solar system, stretching 2,000 miles long, 120 miles wide, and 23,000 feet deep. It's a big canyon. It's much deeper and wider than the Grand Canyon, and it starts at the Noctis Lambris and proceeds east with various chasma, including Titanium, Isis, Malus, Candor, Ophir, Copres, Ganges, Capri, and Eos Chasma, Mata. It eventually empties into an overflow channel region that is in the base of the Crissy Plantia. Now, compared to the Grand Canyon, which is 227 miles long, 18 miles wide, and 1 mile deep. Now, the absence of volcanic activity at the rift site suggests it was not created by erosion. Instead, it was formed by electrical discharge. That's also the argument of how the Grand Canyon was formed, is by electrical discharge by a nearby planet, as it created a super strong electromagnetic plasma effect, and what you're seeing is the cracking of the Earth. Now, they've simulated this, or they've seen this effect with lightning strikes on the Earth where it cracks the Earth. And so these fractures in the Earth look more like high-energy plasma effects. Now, Mars had no evidence of large bodies of surface water, and the theory of greenhouse created by sulfur dioxide is improbable. That was the original research that I found. And I still believe that it's hard. Maybe at one time Mars was a Garden of Eden. It had water. It could sustain life. But that would have meant that it had to have more mass. So let's say if Mercury and Mars were combined, then it would have the right mass in order to support life. I'm talking about bipedal life, which would be humans. But if a cataclysm occurred, or a catastrophic event occurred, say like something smashed into Mars, which there's probably some indications that large bodies, asteroids, or even planetoid-sized objects could have smashed in to other planets at one time in the solar history. But suppose that did happen, and it ejected out a portion of the mass, and that mass became Mercury, then Mars and Mercury, if they ever were recombined, possibly could support an atmosphere and support life. As is, even if you created oxygen and you created water on Mars, the gravity is not strong enough, and it would just evaporate into space, according to what I've read. When planets become close, gargantuan interplanetary lightning results. The electrical activity stripped 2 million cubic kilometers away from Valles Marinus and 90% of Mars' atmosphere. So that's this cataclysm that I'm referring to. The explosion of material created a V-cross, which is typical of electrical plasma effect rather than a U cross-section typical of erosion. Mars is covered with large craters characteristic of electrical arcing machining. Over 6 miles of Mars' surface was evacuated. So, excavated. So that's my argument, is that these are not lakes, but they are just electrical arc machining effects of a nearby planet. The upper left region of Venus crater Buck is marked by swirling arc that extinguished before it completed its complete circular rotation. So there you go. So you can see these patterns, these arc patterns, and indication that there was a plasma effect or electrical effect that's occurring. The arc is also striking at right angles. So the scarring is not all done by meteorites. Electrical discharges can ionize the gases in Mars' atmosphere, creating a plasma. Plasma consists of charged particles that can conduct electricity. The presence of plasma in the atmosphere could alter the behavior of the electromagnetic waves, affecting their propagation and changing the electrical properties of the atmosphere. This could have implications for the functioning of the system. You could have electrical discharges could cause buildup, resulting of static electricity in Mars' atmosphere. In the event of large-scale electrical discharges, lightning and thunderstorms could occur in Mars' atmosphere. Lightning is a powerful electric discharge that generates intense electromagnetic fields and releases a significant amount of energy. Thunderstorms associated with the lightning could bring strong winds, turbulence, and disturbances in the atmosphere. This phenomena poses challenges for the operation of electric systems. Okay, so now the next section talks about the NASA's rover and Curiosity and Perseverance rovers that were launched. Now, Curiosity was launched in November 26, 2011, landed on Mars August 6, 2012. Its Curiosity is a car-sized robot, measures 10 feet long, 9 feet wide, and 7 feet tall. It's approximately 2,200 pounds. The rover is equipped with various instruments. Primary goal of Curiosity rover is to determine if Mars had conditions necessary to support microbial life. Well, they took some samples in the rocks and they thought they saw microbial life, but not sure if that's ever been proven. It would look like possible, but unless they were able to get some form of DNA or some sort of organic material or something of that nature, how could they prove that it was indeed microbial life? So they would have to get evidence of a cell or single cell under an electron microscope or something of that level, not just a protein, something that looked like a protein strand to determine life. The rover carries a suite of scientific instruments, include cameras, spectrometers, a laser that can vaporize rocks, and for drilling and collecting samples. Curiosity is powered by radioscopy thermal electric generator, RTG. Basically what it does is it takes plutonium-238, which generates a lot of heat, and it produces electricity. Gives it nearly unlimited and endless power source to do its experiments. And that's one reason why it's still in operation today, is because it's a nuclear-powered system. It makes me think if they could do that with nuclear power, why can't we use low-energy nuclear reactions today in cars to produce heat and using magneto-hydrodynamic copper plates create the electricity that powers the car, and we just basically not have to use fossil fuels ever? Okay, so the Perseverance rover was launched July 30th, 2012, 2020. It lifted off 4:50 ETA PDT, which is 7:50 AM EDT, from Launch Complex 41 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, Florida. Now, it was a similar robot to Curiosity, and it had a power system similar to its predecessor, which is a plutonium-based heat exchange or heat to electricity converter. However, it had several improvements. One is the wheels of Perseverance are more robust and durable, and the rover also had a longer and stronger robotic arm. Perseverance carried Mars Heliocopter Ingenuity, a small autonomous helicopter that rode to Mars attached to the belly of Perseverance rover. Ingenuity is a very small helicopter weighing about 4 pounds. Okay. Perseverance is more autonomous. It can plan its own driving path and travel further each day. Perseverance is powered by the RTG also. Okay. Now we get to the last section, which is building facilities on Mars. Okay, this is kind of interesting. What they need to do is send a bunch of robots over, and the robots are going to print and construct a structure that will protect human life against the radiation and constant bombardment of meteorites, because you don't have an atmosphere that burns up the meteorites. So you have lots of meteorites and asteroids that are hitting the atmosphere or hitting Mars' surface. So, those would be coming in at high velocities, like maybe between 50 to 100,000 miles per hour. So they needed to build a shield. Otherwise, you have to dig down into the ground, and so you'd have to have equipment to do that. So the idea was, let's go to the minimal thing. Let's go to a lake bed, or in what I was calling an arcing, electrical arcing platform, where electrical effect had created what it looked like a lake bed, and NASA will build dome shape. Now, the way they're going to build that dome is they can take different materials that are on Mars. So you have Martian rhodolith, which is basically silica. It's very abundant on Mars. You have iron oxide, which is known as rust. Well, you can take that and melt that down and extract the iron out of it. So you have an excavator that will pull in all this iron oxide soil. It'll bring it to bins, and then you'll have something like a retorter there that will heat the soil up and then try to extract out the iron bits. And then, using another robot, you take the iron bits, and using the high-powered microwaves powered by the RTG generator, melt the iron, and then you extrude that out and systematically create an iron dome. That's one way to do it. The second way to do it is to 3D print using different materials and try to create a cement base that can solidify in various temperatures and without the la in a lack of oxygen environment. Now, the last stage of the process would be then to deploy inflatable living spaces and connect them, the pods together underneath the dome, and then set up your labs and living spaces and the biosphere, which would be plants and insects possibly. That's been always the challenge NASA's had, is to how do you create a biosphere that you can sustain long term outside of Earth. And I think the longest any complex system, biological system outside of Earth has survived is maybe 2 years. So, unless you can prove me wrong, that's what I'm going to hold on, is around 2 years. Okay, so I'm going to put my link to A Journey to Mars, and hopefully you enjoy it.